So in Asia, what is the right mix? What is the appropriate property rights system that will help the growing urban poor? The two systems outlined above, before, represent idealist positions. You have the liberalist commitment to individual freedom on one hand and the socialist's emphasis on the land social function on the other. And this paper will attempt to put forward a position that merges the two, one where there can be and should be a statutory property rights system, as well as a suite of formalisation avenues that through legal frameworks place significant value in land's social function. Of course, this idea is not new. Social housing around the world is community centres, public libraries, parks, recreation grounds, nature reserves, they're all examples of how states, different contexts, have valued the social function of land. The point is that within the rising rate of landlessness in the Asia Pacific, perhaps a more direct engagement with innovative land formalisation processes, including temporary formalisation arrangements, needs to be institutionalised so that policymakers have a flexible system that is better able to address the needs of the urban poor. Consistent with this point is the UN Special Rapporteur suggestion on adequate housing, where promoting the social function of property is needed. This is one of the 10 guiding principles that the Rapporteur put forward to assist states and other actors in combating the land crisis in the urbanising world. In the report, the Rapporteur argues for the strengthening of diverse tenure forms and says, and I quote, "Contrary to the dominant discourse on tenure, freehold titles are not the sole instrument of tenure security. Often policies that promote individual freehold simultaneously reduce support to other tenure arrangements. Such policies risk excluding and undermining the tenure status of large segments of urban and peri-urban populations, particularly the poorest." I know some of our presenters, including Professor Fitzpatrick, touched on this morning. So by expanding the conceptual framework of liberalism in this way, we can offer policymakers in the Asia Pacific a flexible toolkit for land formalisation procedures that can remove some obstacles to human development. Finally, I want to touch on the role of civil societies, or civil society's role in all of this, and this is interesting to me in particular. I think the paper will go on to argue that there needs to be a broader institutionalisation of the social function of land, and that needs to happen to counter the trend of landlessness in urban centres. Civil society, the role that we can play, and others around the world, through advocacy, we can start to shift or continue to shift the value context within which societies and policymakers make decisions. On land rights, much work's already been done. Indeed, civil society organisations have been at the forefront of urban planning initiatives and land formalisation programs for many decades. Presently, and this is interesting, activist civil society, including social movements around the world, have been articulating something rather new, and that is the basis or the idea that this, of a right to the city. This is human rights language coming in here. The right to the city promotes land as a human right and stresses the need to recapture the social function of land. The right to the city values the right that city dwellers have to create urban environments suitable for living. This right implicitly carries with it the questioning of whether urban spaces ought to be left to the whims of global capital or instead be approached with deference to social goods. As we know, rights-based campaigning has had a long and successful history. The language of human rights has provided a compelling framework, and civil society has done quite a good job at being able to garner some public support and mobilise policymakers around issues and make legislative changes accordingly. I think this is a space to watch, actually. As the issue grows, as it most certainly will, this rights-based approach to the city might be heard wider around the world. I'll leave you with that picture, a pretty desperate picture of an urban slum in Phnom Penh, and conclude by reiterating a few points. First, that land tenure insecurity as it stands in the Asia Pacific is not an obscure tangential issue. It's actually something that affects the lived experience and life opportunities of literally millions around the world. It's an issue connected to the global economic processes that are affecting urban centres in particular, and it is a core of a political issue that asks very confronting questions of any public. With the many parts, within many parts there specific, these questions of late have seemed to gain more and more relevance and urgency. So that's my presentation. It's part of an ongoing attempt to create a framework for further case study analysis of the issue of land tenure insecurity in Cambodia and Nepal in particular. And all going well, it will be completed in July and available to all attendees. Thanks everyone for listening.